The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. I'm Jason Duvall. With me is always best friend in the world, Dave Draper.
Yay!
Coming to you from the lovely Draper abode.
Stately Draper
Manor.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that stately. It's pretty stately.
Wow.
It's pretty stately.
Wow.
If the
hurtful.
I think as more of the antique furniture goes away, it becomes less stately.
That, well,
there is a truth to that.
Maybe a little bit.
Did you ever get rid of? Did you ever go talk to the auctioneer?
No.
Oh, David.
It's on the list.
You had such,
All those paintings are in my closet right now. They need to come out.
Fair enough. That's a lot of paintings too.
It is a lot of paintings.
There's a lot of paintings. How you been, David?
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty much until about 2 days ago. Till Sunday, I was pretty much parked in front of the TV playing XCOM,
yeah.
Or The Chosen.
Yeah.
It's a really good.
The new downloadable content.
It's a DLC, but it's like Enemy Within was to Enemy Unknown. It changes the game,
right?
And radically changes the game.
Yeah.
Like it's almost a different game before, and
which
after.
Is cool.
Which is cool, but it's not like a. I don't know how to, it adds. It expands.
Right.
And some of the expansions are really cool. There's a lot of little features with like the soldiers and like soldiers can become best friends with each other.
Yeah.
And that gives them abilities. And then there's this whole mechanic where if you put them on too many missions, they get tired.
They get tired.
Which is a pain in the ass. But it's cool.
Plus they can have like psychotic episodes.
That is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like if they get too, well, if you send them on a mission and they're too tired and something happens, they can snap.
Yeah,
and then they can come back with weird phobias.
Yeah, it's pretty intense, but
it's pretty cool. The Chosen themselves are kind of
meh.
Yeah, they're annoying. Like that's the one thing the game did not need was more little windows of people yapping at you constantly.
Oh yeah.
Like Jesus, we did not need more of that.
Stop talking to me.
I mean, it's kind of I like what they did where when you go after the Chosen finally. It's like a mini version of the final mission.
Yes.
Because in the original game, the final mission kind of comes out of nowhere and kicks you in, especially if you've never done it before. Because it's like the final mission is like a kind of a normal mission, but really hard.
Right.
And then you get into this crazy marathon battle royale. They throw everything at you, and you're like, oh my God, this is, you know.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know what's happening.
This is crazy. So the Chosen missions are like little miniature versions of that. Almost. So if you only play the game for the first time doing that.
Right.
You get that little taste of it beforehand.
Yeah.
So, I really liked it. I enjoyed it. You know, I got the DLC stuff because I also hadn't downloaded the other DLC stuff, the Alien Hunters.
Right.
And Shin's Last.
So you just downloaded all of it.
I got it all at once and did it all at once. I had to restart the game at one point because the way they have it set up is very confusing about integrating all the different DLC.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the Shin mission is fun if you're prepared. It sucks if you're not. Because it's just fighting wave after wave of robots.
Robots, yeah. You told me about
that. And then you get
that.
To the roof, and there's like the giant robot with a million points of armor, and I'm like, I can't beat this thing.
Yeah, you're like, no. I'm
and kidding. It's got like that. I think it's the same guy too. The guy who's the Riddler in the Arkham games.
Oh yeah.
And he's basically doing the Riddler from the Arkham games.
That's funny. That's
so
awesome.
You really want? He's like an evil AI.
Yeah, so you're like, I want you to die.
I want you to die. And then you build the second robot because you get a robot out of it.
Right.
If you build the second robot, like you find out that his AI kind of lived. But it's like. It's she's programmed it so he has to like obey,
right?
But it's still annoying because like I think some people enjoy it because it's like, you know, like, well, I'm smarter than you, but I'll do what you say, sir.
Right.
And I think some people kind of enjoy that, like that payback.
Yeah.
I just was like, I cannot change this voice setting fast enough when I get back.
I've been while you were playing XCOM since last Friday. I've been playing Cuphead.
Yeah, I was. I didn't. You didn't even say anything. Like, I think Sunday I started noticing playthroughs on YouTube. And I was going to send you a text because I know you had pre-ordered.
Yes. I had pre-ordered it like,
way back.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 months ago when it went up for pre-order. I bought it. I was like, hell yeah. And then they were like, not available until it was like the September. And I was like, oh, I was like, all right, well, cool. I bought it. That's fine. Well, it finally went live and I downloaded it and I played it. And I've been playing it off and on since Friday. And I haven't played a game in so long that's made me cuss that much at it or made me want to throw a controller at something.
Yeah, it's...
Holy shit.
From what I... Because I was never a big video game guy.
My God.
So, from what I understand, it's a very sort of Mega Man, bullet it, hell
it
kind
is,
of...
It is. Like the, like the...
Side-scrolling run gun.
It's as hard as Mega Man 2 and 3 combined with Shinobi, which okay. all of those are
I've heard
super,
Contra.
Well, Contra I never had a problem with. Shinobi's a hard is a hard game. Mm. And Mega Man 2 and like the later Mega Mans are just difficult, like all out difficult as you go on later. This game from the get-go is hard. Like once you learn patterns.
Yeah, that seems to be the key to the game.
The key is the enemies never really vary from the patterns. The bosses will attack in different patterns sometimes, but it's always the same. Once you know that attack pattern, it's always the same. It doesn't matter where it comes at. You can always kind of figure it out. But the problem is getting to that point where you learn that. You have to go through it so many times to... And then it gets more frustrating is once you think you've mastered an early part of the level and then you screw up on something that simple, you're just like, just... I just ended up just like, just kill me. Just like running into things to die so I can start back over
again. Well, one of the playthroughs that I watch, like he'll just like stop. He'll just... resume or whatever, go back. Just if he takes a hit, he'll just go back and start.
It's tough. It's probably one of the hardest games I've ever played. I mean, it's a beautiful game. It's gorgeous. All the characters are animated by hand. They're not CGI. They're not like computer, you know, drawn on a tablet. Yeah. They were all physically drawn and animated by hand, the old style as they would have.
The coloring was the only thing that they did by computer.
Coloring was the only thing they did by computer, but everything else is all hand animated. It's all animated to look like a 30s cartoon. So it's all, it is batshit crazy looking. I mean, it is nuts.
Yes.
And that was the draw to me, was it was based on like these old Fleischer kind of cartoons and the old like silly symphonies from Disney. Like they are just out of this world looking. And I mean, you fight a psychic carrot of all things, and it's nuts. It's so crazy.
Have you gotten to the airplane?
Yes, I beat her.
Yeah.
It's
and that was interesting because she would like well, it was weird because first she's a Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And then she would do these weird astrological things.
Yes.
And then she turns into a moon.
Yes. It's nuts.
It's weird.
It's just crazy. It's a lot of fun though. It gets better as you buy some of the different
upgrades.
Weapons.
Yeah.
And once you figure out what works best, like there's one where if you turn around from everything and just fire, like it fires and then comes back across the screen,
the
boomerang one. And that's a really great weapon to use because you can just stand at the edge of the screen and just keep firing.
Yeah.
So that's fun. But it's so damn hard. Like I was, you know, Carrie and I sleep in the bed, and Carrie sleeps in her office sometimes because the cats will get in bed, and then she's like, "Well, I don't want to ruin it," so she'll just go sleep in the other room. She was sleeping in the room reading her book, and I'm in there playing, and she hears me cussing. She's like, "What's wrong in there?" I'm like, "It's my game. I hate it. Stupid." She's like, "Why did you buy it?" I'm like, "I like it, but it's dumb. I don't like it no more. It's stupid." I got to the point where I would turn it off. I'm like, "I'm done." Yeah. And then 5 minutes later, I turn it back on. I'm like, "All right, this is it. This is the time I get through this level. It's fine. I can do this."
Yeah.
I'm sure my blood pressure's on the rise just talking about it. Stupid game. It's amazing, but it's difficult and makes me cry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I did most of the weekend. And then, of course, Carrie and I had been talking about saving our money. You know, we're doing a big garage sale thing this coming weekend.
Okay.
The Spoon River Drive. But
okay.
We were talking about, you know, after that, that's it. We're done. You know, it's going to get colder. It's pretty much the end of... for that kind of stuff for us anyway.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to try to... We have some debt built up from the dog and from our vacation and some bills and stuff that we're like, let's just be good for like 4 months through the winter. Let's just be good. Let's just put all that money that we would spend going out towards bills and stuff and let's pay this all down. I'm like, all right. But of course, on Saturday, we both woke up and she's like, what do you want to do today? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, do you want to go to Jacksonville, go to the Goodwill Outlet? I'm like, sure. So, you know, of course, we just had this conversation and then we're out there discussing.
Yeah, I've noticed that with you guys. You're like, yeah, we're going to be good.
We're going to be good. And then it's like, oh, let's go do this.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's go money. Yeah.
Well, it's a lot of times it's
well,
her.
I'm sitting here quietly like, yeah, you know, there's a little thing called King County coming up that
Well, I've got stuff in the hopper that I'm selling, so I'll have some money for that. Because I already told her, I'm like, I got to make some money for King County. But, so we went to the outlet. Sometimes you find some good stuff. Sometimes you don't. You find bits and pieces of things. I always find bits and pieces of crap. But this time it's kind of fun because I walked in and they had. I've told the story about the big boxes of toys that like just the raw stuff that you dug through. They brought those back, but then they had all the bins too. And under the tables, they had all these like big toys that were like $2 a piece.
Okay.
And we're walking in, and I looked down, and I was like, "Oh, you've got to be kidding me!" And just sitting there is a headless Fortress Maximus. Hmm. And I was like, "In the cart you go," thinking I'm like, in the back of my head, I'm like, "I have a Fortress Maximus.
Yes, you do.
It's not this one. It's a reissue of the Japanese one, a Brave Fortress Maximus. But I'm fine with it. I don't need a vintage one. I'm fine.
I'm so sorry." We all appreciate the sacrifices you've made for your collection.
Well, yeah. So I was like, somebody will probably buy this at a toy show because I'm not shipping this thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take it to a show and sell it, and someone will buy it just for parts because it's cool. But I'm cleaning it because it was dirty when I got home. Cleaning it. And if you've ever had Fortress Maximus, like, he's got these two cannons on his side that pop out, or when you transform him into city mode, they pop out to form the control tower.
Sure.
So I did that, and I'm cleaning, and I open the canopy, and I just happen to look in as I'm opening, and I was like, what the hell? And I pull out, like, I could never find any of the pieces for him. I couldn't find Cerebros. I couldn't find any of his guns. I couldn't find any of the parts of Cog, the little multiple-part robot that formed into the bigger robot. But inside the control tower is Spike, little Headmaster Spike for Cerebros. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm like, that's a $100 figure. By himself. I'm like, that's not... In my mind, like, Carrie's like, who donates this stuff? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, how does this stuff even end up at Goodwill of all places?
Somebody's grandma, somebody's parent who doesn't know. It's in the attic. It's missing a head. Right. Who cares?
You know. Well, it always amazes me that, you know, you find... Like, people are always... especially on a lot of the toy groups, people share their thrift store finds. And there's always people griping, my thrift store never has anything. And people are like, well, how often do you go to your thrift store? I don't know. Every other month or so. It's like, dude, you got to go every day, man. Like, we don't go to the outlet every day, but it seems like every time we go to the outlet, we find stuff. But I was just like, in my mind, I was just like, how is this still sitting here today? I'm like, this thing has had to have been here all day long. Like, they didn't just bring this out. It's had to have been sitting there all day. I'm like, I know there's toy people in Jacksonville and from surrounding areas and from Springfield that go there specifically to dig stuff out to take to flea markets to sell. I'm like, how is this thing still sitting here?
I don't know.
It was a find. It was a fun find.
Was it?
It was a fun find. You're not very happy with me right now, are you?
No. I mean,
because you're always like, Duvall always finds this crap for stupid cheap.
Well, okay, but you know, it is. The Spike thing's cool, but I mean, it's missing its head. I mean,
it is. It's just the body. But
I mean, that's you. And then Danny would find the whole thing complete with everything, and
for like $5,
and someone would pay him to take it away.
Yeah, which is pretty much what happened with Trypticon.
Which is pretty much what happened with Trypticon.
Oh, well, this Trypticon. Well, no, he bought the Trypticon for $5, and I was like,
it's called an exaggeration. It's a comedic effect.
I know. But I was like, I'm a good friend. I'll dig all the parts out for him out of this box that they brought in the next day.
And then you should have been like, and I will sell them to you.
Wow. Well, that's just sad.
Okay. You would have sold them to me.
No, I wouldn't.
Did I have to buy those Battletech things off of you?
You were going to buy those Battletech things off of me.
It's going to...
I've given you a lot of stuff over the years.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. And then you complain about it afterwards.
No, I don't.
You Native American giver. Oh,
wow.
That was like the sweet... That was like
we just went slightly racist.
I tried to do it as politically correct as I could.
Wow.
Okay.
That was sad. I'm hurt. Not so much in the head or in the knees, right in the heart.
I was aiming a little lower.
Oh, fair enough.
That was like one of the sweetest moments ever. It was like, here's this book from the Star Wars Holiday Special. It's like this weird physical proof that it exists. I'm like, this is so cool. Duvall has done it again. He's gotten this cool thing.
That's not at all
then,
what happened.
And then you're like, yeah, you just took that from me. That wasn't that, for you. You just stole it.
The true story, you would have eventually got that, but the true story was I was showing you the stuff we found.
Oh, you were doing the dick thing where you're like, look what I got for me, and then you wanted me to go.
No.
That's what you did with Dinosaurs Attacks.
No.
You were like, look what I got, and I was like, oh, I really wanted that.
With the whole intention you were getting that for Christmas, this was not that. This was like, hey, look at all this cool stuff I found. And I put that book out, and you went, "Oh, I'm taking this," and just snatched it.
I do not remember it like that at all.
Like, okay, I guess you could have it.
I don't remember it
like that. Hey, man, best friends snatch stuff from each other. That's just what happens.
Whatever.
We've never snatched anything from each other at a toy show, ever.
No. Well, that's because we're usually not after the same thing.
That's true.
I think, like, once there was one thing we were both kind of...
What was that?
I don't remember. Oh, I know when we went to Annie's place, the Wildcats figures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's true.
I mean, I wasn't as salty about that because I had most of them anyway.
Right.
So...
You were just like, I kind of want the...
I kind of want the ones I don't have.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I was like, it's a whole collection.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep them all. Yeah. I love you. Meanwhile, Dave will buy those off eBay someday.
Maybe.
Or
those are, like, even though they're hard to find at toy shows, that's a toy show. That's a definite, yeah. That's one of my toy show things where I go and it's like, if I see one, I
pick
it up.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. I'm
that and tick are now my, like, things. If I see
I've
one at a toy
that,
show.
Yeah, you've been finding a lot of tick stuff at shows lately.
Well, I don't know.
Because you had the box, right?
I got the steel box, I think, at a King County.
Yeah. And now you've started to go back and pick up the figures, kind of slowly.
Yeah, well, I got like, somebody had, like, a bag of, like, a couple of the rare ones.
Yeah. And the good thing is a lot of those didn't really come with accessories.
Yeah, no.
So it was just pretty much the figure, and as long as the action feature works, that's all you need.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, because I've played with a bunch of those, like with the cow with the foot coming out of his mouth.
Man-eating cow.
Yeah, like the foot spins and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But that was a fun little line.
Yeah.
I like the tick line.
Yeah.
I remember Don Blanco ordered those from somebody here in the States and just had them sent to my house so I could just eventually, like... He was building this huge box of stuff so he could just pay for shipping for me and just have it sent to him.
Yeah.
Instead of paying for multiple ridiculous shipping amounts. So he was like, when you get to play with them, man, have some fun with them. Like, they're open. So I did. I played with them. It's a neat line.
Yeah.
Not a line I'd go after, though. Surprisingly.
It's just cute. I mean, it's, you know, and I like that show.
Yeah.
Again, man, at this point, I'm like Alexander. I have no more worlds with Chikantar.
I know. I feel the same. Although, when Carrie and I were having a conversation about money, I did go, you know, I was like, I could sell the Filmation stuff and make us about $2,000 pretty easily.
Wow.
And she went, you are not selling that. She's like, you worked way too hard to find all that and way too long to find it. She's like, don't sell your stuff. She's like, we'll be fine. She's like, we're not destitute. We're not going to be in a slum. She's like, we're fine. She's like, don't sell it. I'm like, all right. So, yeah, that did come up in the conversation.
Though. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It was a pretty semi serious.
Yeah. Well, if you're talking about selling the Filmation Ghostbusters stuff, that is serious.
But no one worry, we're not dying or anything. It's just
no, you're just broke apparently.
We're not broke. We've got money. It's just sad that I don't get paid as much as I used to anymore. So
sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. Not a lot of toy news this week. We are gearing up. Saban is kicking off the 25th anniversary for Power Rangers, and that kicked off today, actually, on October 4th. They kicked it off with a new logo of the Red Ranger kicking with this kind of like...
I get it, kicking it off.
Yeah, see? I'm not sure what they have. The first celebration reveals, in addition to the logo, include the special 25th anniversary episode, which will air on Nickelodeon during the Power Rangers Super Ninja Steel season next year. An interactive theater production in partnership with Red Light Management and Creative Arts Agency. Why CAA is doing this, I don't know. More details on this national live tour, along with pre-sale tickets, will be announced in early October. Hopefully, I don't know how many people have ever seen the original Power Rangers live stage tour. It's on video. It was never released on DVD. That was the only place I ever saw it was on video. And that was around the time they were doing like Barney Live and Mortal Kombat Live and all that stuff. So they did Power Rangers Live. It's pretty terrible.
Well,
because the Rangers get captured by Rita and Zed, who turn several of them into Tiki Birds.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, it makes no sense. But they get turned into Tiki Birds, and they're in these little cages on stage, these little puppet birds that are talking. I've watched and enjoyed and seen live Coming Out of Our Shells tour, and watched it many times since it came out, and still enjoy it for its awfulness and the actually decent music. But Power Rangers Live is just terrible to watch. So hopefully this new iteration of a live interactive theater production is a hell of a lot better than that. Hopefully there's no Rangers getting turned into little birdies. We can hope. Power Rangers will be the first licensed property with an official interactive role-playing game streaming live on Hyper RPG. an industry-leading channel on Twitch, the world's leading social video platform and community. Not sure how the hell that's going to work.
Yeah, I don't.
Interactive experiences with new game-changing brand partners to create Power Rangers escape rooms and virtual reality centers.
As wow, well as learning, are there going to be fidget spinners too? Yeah,
as well as learning and physical development.
Getting in on every little hip thing. I know they're cool.
No, Walmart has bins full of fidget spinners now. Five for $2.
Yeah, we were walking the mall today and they had a sign like blowout sale on fidget spinners.
That was a fad that lasted all of 3 weeks.
A couple months.
The unveiling of the top 25 of the 25th collection, which will feature official anniversary items for collectors of all ages from notable partners, including toy partner brand Bandai, the chart-topping mobile game Power Rangers Legacy Wars from Midway, and record-breaking Power Ranger comics from Boom Studios. Are they really record-breaking? Really? Are they really? How many issues are they really selling from Boom?
Well, maybe the record's the wrong kind of... Like, from what I understand with the industry, the records are the bad kind of records.
Mm. So they've broken all the bad records.
You know, like, well, I don't know about Boom. I know that IDW is not cracking 5K in sales.
No.
And that's sales to stores.
Stores, yeah. The official celebration will kick off on January 18 and continue through the holiday season.
That's just a couple days after my birthday.
Oh, I know.
You butts.
Mezco, who continues to irritate and upset fans as more and more pre-orders get canceled from lines for figures they have not released yet because they've offered, like, what, 100?
A million, yeah.
Like, almost 100 different figures and only released, like, 10, 15 maybe? Maybe more, but not...
I don't know if that counts the Dark Knight. Because they did a lot of Dark Knight Returns stuff when they started.
Right.
So that all came out. Beyond that, I lost.
But they keep offering all these figures, and they've offered up another previews exclusive figures for Marvel's Defenders Doctor Strange.
That works so well for Palisades.
Let's just
do a lot of exclusives.
Yeah.
Collectors love millions of little pointless variants that are extremely hard to get.
That's
a business strategy.
Yeah, Mezco, I think with Mezco, they got in over their heads. Like, they've had successful lines before, but not to this extent. Like, Living Dead Dolls has always done really well for them.
Yeah.
But it's a very niche, underground kind of thing. Like, they make a couple hundred, and they sell them out on pre-orders, and that's it. Like, you never really see them in stores. Unless they're a big Spencer's thing or something, then they have a ton of them and they never sell because they're a niche thing and nobody really gives a damn except for the fans that love that line.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, you've got Marvel and DC figures you're releasing under this 1/12, this 1/6 scale stuff, or 1/12, and suddenly you've got
these ginormous figures.
They're 6 inches, David. They're not giant. You've got this fan base that is ravenous and that people really want to pay the money for these and want to buy them. Problem is they're offering up so many figures so fast that it's just... They're kind of like Fresh Monkey Fiction, where they just keep... Or not,
yeah.
Zyka. Like, they keep showing off figures, but they're not releasing them fast enough to justify the amount of stuff they're showing off.
Yeah. Like, it also has, like, a little bit of a Pops feel to it, where it's like, we're going to do everything!
There's a Superman figure they showed off, like, a year and a half ago, and it's still never been released. Like, no one has any information on it. It was up for pre-order, and now the pre-orders are getting canceled because apparently Mezco's like, yeah, we're not going to release that. Which is really sad because if anything kills a toy company, it will be doing what Palisades did, which is exactly what Mezco's doing. It's exactly following the steps of Palisades, where you're making these tough-to-complete lines for people who want to complete it and then just pissing them off royally.
Well, I think they're doing their own mistake, which is this promising everything.
Right.
And then, like, not delivering.
Promising the world and then giving you a piece of dirt.
Yeah. Well, or two or three figures.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still got my... As far as I know, my Old Man Logan is still on pre-order at Big Bad. Although...
That could change anyway.
I remember Bridge Direct. I was like, my Hobbit figures are still on order. And then, like, 2 minutes later, the emails came through.
Yeah, and you're like, oh,
boy. Like, ha-ha.
Speaking of Palisades, this is something we didn't talk about last week.
Yeah.
And we're only going to talk about briefly because... Most of the actual physical story
is gone.
Yeah. Like, it's been all deleted. And amazingly, in this day and age of the internet, like, nobody thought to screen capture a lot of this stuff because I can't find it. And even the actual 4chan toys page has all been scrubbed clean of it. Like, it's gone.
Hmm.
But there was an announcement made last Sunday. We were at Toy Man. We were sitting with... Irizarry eating breakfast at the Denny's that was the hardest Denny's ever to get to.
Yeah, the Denny's in Mordor.
And you guys were talking about something that I don't... I think it might have been Joe or something. I was just like, eh.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
How rude of us.
And I was, you know, kind of playing on my phone listening. And I came across this Facebook page where somebody was like, I think it was Flood that was like, Floorburger was like, oh my God, Palisades is really coming back. And there was a link and you clicked on it. And it was like this business plan, like this letter from the new CEO and his business plan for the return of Palisades. And you start reading it and you're like, well, this is actually makes sense. Well, as the days went on, Sunday turned into Monday, turned into Tuesday, it comes out that
Didn't even make it to Tuesday. I thought it might have been Monday.
It might have been Monday night. It was gone.
Yeah.
But it turns out as people started digging, the person making these claims had nothing to do with the actual couple that still own the rights to the name Palisades and still own the company. Even though it's gone, they still own everything that the company did. It turns out this is like some 17-year-old kid, doesn't have any business experience, no idea how to get these licenses, and just making this crap up. You know, talking about, you know, he owns the license now, and he's going to make all this stuff. And it's like everyone immediately started calling this kid out and like, dude, you're 17. You know nothing. Like, you don't even own this. And apparently it devolved into death threats, and he got doxxed. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's probably about the time they started scrubbing clean all that stuff. So. Because apparently people were just so pissed off at him that, like,
that was just such a weirdly random thing to troll people.
Yeah, it was.
Because if you read the announcement, it sounded like a real. It sounded real because it was underwhelming.
Yeah,
it was like, we're bringing back Palisades, but we're not actually going to do like
the licenses until like 2020.
We're going to try to do the licenses, but we're going to do this own really awesome toy line.
Yeah,
because that sounds like that's what they did with the Adventure People.
Yes,
like, hey, we're doing our own thing. We're just calling it this thing that people are familiar with and love.
Yes,
which is not sleazy at all.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
But yeah, it was basically just trolling fans, and people were like, what?
But like, that's such an obscure thing to troll people about. I mean, like, it's almost like they were like, I hate that Jason Neval guy, man. I gotta break his heart. Like, who else on earth? Well, I guess Flood. There were enough people, but it's just a weird thing to like a weird company to pick to troll people with.
Yeah, it really, really was. Just crazy stuff, man. It's like, again, it's just like, why troll that? And he was claiming ownership of something else too, and I don't remember what it was now.
I don't know.
It was something equally as nuts, and it was just like, what is happening? I think to the whole point that, I don't remember if it was Blake or it was John Kent who just posted, the words Coleco. Because there was the big to-do a couple years ago. Somebody said they owned the rights to the Coleco name and were bringing out a new Coleco system. And they showed it off at E3. Like, it was a new new video game system from Coleco. And it turns out it was just literally like an N64 inside of a plastic box that they were running software off of. Because there was nothing, like, they had kickstarted this thing and there was nothing physical about it. Like, they had delivered nothing. Nothing at all. So that was something interesting to watch happen. Over the course of, 2 days?
Yeah, maybe? It was real super quick.
Yeah, I was like, well, that's done and over with, I guess.
I mean, I literally posted, you know, this sounds real because it's really underwhelming, and boom, immediately
it
collapsed.
Yeah, it just, like, folded to the point, like I said, where it was scrubbed clean of everything. Apparently, we got some Pacific Rim Uprising synopsis, which offers the first story details of the film.
Let me guess. There are giant monsters and robots
fight them. The globe-spanning conflict between otherworldly monsters of mass destruction and the human-piloted super machines built to vanquish them was only a prelude to the all-out assault on humanity and Pacific Rim Uprising. John Boyega stars as the rebellious Jake Pentecost, a once promising Jaeger pilot whose legendary father gave his life to secure humanity's victory against the monstrous kaiju. Jake has since abandoned his training, only to become caught up in a criminal underworld. But when an even more unstoppable threat is unleashed to tear through our cities and bring the world to its knees, he's given one last chance to live up to his father's legacy by his estranged sister, Mako Mori, who is leading a brand new generation of pilots that have grown up in the shadow of war. As they seek justice for the fallen, their only hope is to unite against together in a global uprising against the forces of extinction. Jake is joined by gifted rival pilot Lambert, the Fate and the Furious of Scott Eastwood, and 15-year-old Jaeger hacker Amara, newcomer Kaylee Spiney, as the heroes of the PPDC become the only family he has left. Rising up to become the most powerful defense force to ever walk the earth, they will set course for a spectacular all-new adventure on a towering scale. Dun, dun, dun. So, yeah. Okay. So Mako is returning.
Yeah. Well, I remember hearing that and being kind of happy about it.
Mako and Charlie.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I knew they were going to bring out Charlie.
Yeah.
They'll probably remake the other guy, too.
Maybe.
I mean, he's always not doing anything.
True.
Yeah. Where's it going to go? The criminal underworld better be run by Hannibal Chow.
Yeah.
Or GTFO.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because they kind of set that up.
Well, yeah, it's kind of the coolest thing. I mean, first of all, I love the first Pacific Rim.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Love it. But like
I remember walking out of that film and you were as giddy as I had seen you in a long time.
Yeah, but Ron Perlman makes that movie.
Yes, yes, he does.
He is so cool.
Yes.
So he better be running that criminal underworld.
Did he lose an arm in that movie?
Lost a shoe.
Oh, he lost a shoe. That's right.
Well, he'd already lost an eye.
Yeah.
But yeah, his shoes get stolen because the baby kaiju spits them out.
That's right.
His gold.
Yep.
Cowboy boot things.
I forgot about that. And then, of course, this past weekend brought us the finale of Rick and Morty Season 3.
Season 3.
Which a lot of people, even you, were kind of...
I was kind of
disappointed.
I was kind of underwhelmed, not by the very ending, but just the... I don't know. It was that whole fight from They Live, I guess, writ large. And I was just like, eh.
Yeah.
Between President Keith David and Rick.
Although leading up to that was pretty great because Rick and Morty kept solving all of the president's problems for him before he got there, which was pretty great. Although the scene in the White House when they finally determined Rick and Morty are basically enemies of the state and they declare them as enemies of the state and they're like, where are they? Like, we don't know. And they end up in the White
House. Yeah, they're sitting in the Oval Office.
And Rick keeps telling him, he's like, you don't want to do that. You don't want to.
Don't touch me. Yeah, if you touch me, you'll die.
Yeah, you'll die instantly. Don't touch me. And the guard's like, and he's like, I told you, don't touch me, you'll die. And the guard touches him and just falls over. And they're like, oh, God, he's dead. And you're like, it happened so quick. And he's like, yeah. Told him he was going to die painlessly. That's what happens.
They're like, why did you just knock him out? That's unimpressive.
Yeah, it's unimpressive if I just knocked him out. He had to die.
See, that was one thing that bugged me is he like cuts through all the Secret Service guys like butter.
Oh, yeah.
But the president, like, for some reason, keeps scoring hits.
Yeah. Well, I just love the one line I text you, and he's like, I'm like Mother F and Doctor Who up in this. Yeah. And I was like, that is amazing. Like, I love every second of this. I liked the episode. I do agree with you. The fight between him and Keith David's president was kind of, like, do we really need that?
David
like you
Keith.
Said, or Keith David. David Keith or Keith David? Keith David.
Keith David.
Keith David.
David Keith is the guy that kind of looks like the other guy.
Yes, yes.
From Interspace. Dennis Quaid.
Yes, good call. I did like the stuff with Beth of her trying to figure out...
I like the subplot with Beth.
Because she even like was addressing something we were talking about last week about, well, is she actually a clone and the real Beth is gone?
Yeah.
Like, and then she even was like, am I the clone? Dad, am I the clone? And he was like, no, you're not the clone. She's like, well, wait a minute. Wouldn't you tell the clone that they weren't the clone? Because if they can't become self-aware, you just kill them anyway. And he's like, you're not the clone, honey. And then her just freaked out because she thought she was the clone. Yeah. So who does she run to for help but Jerry, of all people? And he convinces her that she is her. Like,
well, he convinces her it doesn't matter. I think that's the
exactly,
point.
Yeah.
Is she is who she is. It doesn't matter whether she's the clone or Beth.
Right. You know, which was Jerry's defining moment of the series. Like,
yeah, actually.
Yeah, like that was...
his weird sort of idiot Zen thing kind of...
Yeah, it kind of worked. And then for her to realize that no matter what, she loves him. Like, he may be an idiot and a moron, but she loves him.
Well,
she loved him because
he's simple.
Yeah.
Because Rick is very complicated but there's no real kind of... comfort or warmth in that complication.
Right. Jerry, there is.
Yeah, Jerry, yeah. Jerry's, there's love.
Yeah.
Where Rick is like, love is just a chemical reaction. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Which,
although, like, you'll notice he didn't... the one thing I liked and it annoyed me, but I give this show credit that they'll do something with it.
Right.
Is at the end they call him out. They're like, you know what? What do you care?
Right.
You're always going on about how there's infinite universes, infinite Beths, infinite Mortys. Just go.
Yeah.
Leave us alone. You don't have to be here. You can find another Beth. You can find another Morty. And he chooses to stay.
Yeah. Which is great because I was kind of talking to you about it before we recorded, and the fact that a lot of people online were complaining that the series finale was very anticlimactic and just very disappointing. And that was, I think that was the whole point of that episode, is that the season started off so strong with him basically destroying the family.
The government. Destroying the government. Galactic government. Plunges everything in chaos.
Yeah, becoming the key figure in that family, getting rid of Jerry, having everyone depend and basically worship at his feet. And then by the end of the season, they just don't care anymore. They're like, dude, you can go. We don't care.
Yeah.
And he suddenly becomes Jerry in the family. Like, they just don't care anymore. And that's, you're right. He just decides to stay. He has to decide, well, I have to, but he disguises himself as Fly Fishing Rick, which was brilliant. Because for a minute there, I thought for sure.
That was Fly Fishing Rick? Yeah.
So him disguising himself as Fly Fishing Rick, making friends with the president so he can stay in the timeline and still help the United States when it's needed.
Well, I think it was less helping the United States and more the U.S. government wouldn't bug him.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And then finally just realizing I'm just going to stay with my family, which he was not happy about doing at all. Like, he does this great speech at the end about, you know, how none of it matters. And like you said, they were all like, we don't care.
Yeah.
Like, sit down and eat and watch TV with us. And he's like, ugh. although we were talking, too, again, that this might not be the finale. They might sneak out another episode for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, there might be an episode they've been keeping quiet about.
I've heard the rumor that there's a Christmas episode. Yeah.
So there we may get an actual finale that's a Christmas episode. Because at the end of the episode, was it before the bumper or after the bumper? Was it the before the credits or after the credits that he... After the credits.
Yeah, it's after the credits.
Yeah, it was after the normal after credits thing. Mr. Poopy Butthole shows up and he goes, hey, everybody!
Like at the end of season 2.
Yeah. And he talks about it. He goes, oh, no, I haven't...
Ooh-wee!
Ooh-wee! I know you haven't seen a whole lot of me. That's because I've been busy. I got married. I had a kid. And he talks about, next time you see me, I may have a big white beard like Santa Claus. That's what everyone's going, huh, is there a Christmas episode coming?
Is that what everybody's taking that? I just
assumed a lot of people are taking it as that.
Yeah. I thought it was because it took so long between seasons.
Well, that was the other joke, too, is that, you know, it may be another years.
Yeah. I may be a grandpa.
Who knows?
Overall, I think it was, well, okay, we'll wait for the fan questions because there's a fan question. But,
right.
But I do think it was a really strong season.
I do, too. And on top of that, thanks to, actually, literally thanks to Rick and Morty and the fans.
Well, yeah.
McDonald's, of course, famously sent them a big jug of Szechuan sauce.
Yes.
And sent some fans, and they, you know, they kind of hinted that maybe they would bring it back. Well, McDonald's announced that they are indeed going to bring it back, but there's a catch. You see, McDonald's has started selling these new buttermilk crispy tenders in all their restaurants. And to help advertise it, McDonald's has been asking people to get obsessed. Get it? Obsessed, obsessed. It's a play on words, Dave. So they've been asking people to get obsessed with them by trying the new offering with a choice of 10 different dipping sauces. Honey mustard, spicy buffalo, tangy barbecue, sriracha mac, sweet and sour, hot mustard, creamy ranch, honey, and you guessed it, Szechuan sauce. But there's a catch.
It's a rather dickish catch.
Well, what they're doing is for one day, on October 7th at 2 p.m. local time, no matter where you're at, as long as it's 2 p.m. your local time, you'll be able to go to participating locations offering the different sauces. Pretty much all the sauces but Szechuan sauce are on the menu pretty much all the time now.
Yeah.
Szechuan sauce is a one-day only thing. It's October 7th. McDonald's is giving out posters for the sauces as well as the sauces, of course. And the poster for the Szechuan sauce is very much inspired.
It's very Rick and Morty.
Very Rick and Morty-ish, and that's a beautiful tribute for that too. So you'll be able to go on October 7th.
In theory, if you're near one of the three restaurants on Earth.
Well, it's not three, but
it's not a lot. And this is even worse. They have a website with a list of restaurants, right?
Right.
And, like, we checked out Illinois right away, and Springfield's not even on the list. But then you click on the cities that are on the list, and not even all those restaurants in that city. Like, I think Peoria, you click on it, and the one restaurant... See, you keep saying that, but...
Let's see. Nope, it's just one for Peoria. 627 Northwestern Avenue is the only restaurant in Peoria. Champaign is close to us. It's only one restaurant in Champaign.
Doesn't have it. That's like, why are you even on the, like, Springfield's not on the list.
Right.
Why is Champaign on the list if it doesn't have a restaurant?
Well, it does. It has a restaurant.
What I mean is, why is it on the list if it doesn't have a restaurant that's doing the Szechuan sauce?
I thought it was, though.
No, but... like they like click on Chicago. Click on Chicago. All
right, hold on.
Do it. Do it now.
I got to go down the list. Shut
up.
Do
it.
All right, I'm on Chicago.
Make it happen. Okay, go down. All
right, go down.
See?
Oh, yeah, I see that.
You see?
Aha, I see.
Human minds are stupid. Stupid!
Yep, I see that. So it's only... So none of us, none of it near us have them.
No!
Wow.
Because I accidentally clicked on one that had it, and I'm like, why does that one say Szechuan available? And
wow.
This other one just has the location of the restaurant.
Well, that's... That's,
I believe the word I used was dickish.
Yeah, that's pretty dickish.
And I stand by my...
Like, that makes me want to call, although it's probably too late now, but to call the Springfield restaurants, the owners, and be like, why aren't you participating in this? Like,
why aren't you participating?
What's wrong with you people? We want our Szechuan sauce, you bastards.
I don't know that they get a call. I think it's just that they pick the most busiest?
Me English good.
Yeah. I think they pick the busiest, the highest volume location.
Fair enough. So, yeah, if you're in a big, basically a big state like Chicago or Orlando or somewhere like huge.
Or a city. Like Illinois or
yeah, you know.
Colorado.
Shut up. Shut your face. Shut your pie hole, David. You know, because of that, let's answer fan questions.
Oh, okay.
We've got quite a few fan questions.
I know.
Jeff May, of course, asked us the season finale of Rick and Morty, what's your favorite, least favorite episode?
I think Tales from the Citadel is my favorite episode.
Yes,
I
would agree.
So good and so deep.
Yes,
Pickle Rick was a really good episode.
Yes,
it became such a thing that I kind of backlashed against it, where everyone's like, "Yeah, I'm Pickle Rick."
Yeah, and you're like,
our friend Molly, and now I'll get a text at some point, like, "You mentioned my name." She said like Pickle Ricks were all over
convention.
She's flipping. Inside baseball.
Yeah.
Inside baseball for you people listening at home. And all the ships at sea. My friend
Tracy. It's the bee's knees.
My friend Tracy is here for this week.
Yes.
And
She picked that dinner. It's good.
Yeah, and Jason actually like acted like a human being for once and ate the food.
Oh my god.
Was it not worth it?
Such a son of a bitch.
Was it not worth it?
I've always eaten her food. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
You make it sound like I've like turned my nose up and like
you have.
I have not.
Give me a soda.
That's such BS.
So anyway, she's here and she's been like, I thought she was just filming us and putting us on Facebook, but Molly's been watching the whole thing live.
Yes, she has been.
And
did she give you the finger?
She gave me the finger. Now she's waving.
Probably well deserved. Honestly.
Well, that explains why I'm not getting texts in the middle of the show. Apparently. Yeah, she knows.
You know, I think my least favorite episode this season would probably have to be, I'm trying to run through them all in my head, probably the Jerry episode. I as much as I love Jerry as a character, that episode was kind of like, eh.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what my least favorite... there was one that I didn't like. I can't remember what it was now. There was the Road Warrior one. There was the
Road Warrior one was pretty good too.
No. I'm trying to remember what there were.
Just for Summers being bat crap crazy.
Yeah, I think it was the one. Maybe what was the one right after the Citadel one?
I don't know.
That one.
That one.
Because I don't remember. There was one that I thought... The flashback one. The one that stood in place of...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the mind...
The Morty Mind Blowers.
Morty Mind Blowers.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
No. Whoop. Yeah. Oh.
Turn your camera off and...
Jeff May goes on to ask something for Chris Sheets, but I guess Chris wanted to see what you came up with, but... wanted to know what the David S. Pumpkins, what the S stands for.
I don't know what that even means.
Oh, you don't know what David S. Pumpkins is?
No.
It's a thing they created on SNL. Tom Hanks did the last time he hosted. And it was just this stupid little silly thing that caught on. So much so that they got an animated special this year for Halloween with Tom Hanks as David S. Pumpkins. Which is just utterly ridiculous.
So like, he's a pumpkin or he sells pumpkins?
He
believes in pumpkins?
He is supposed to be... trying to think if they where's the Wikipedia No
one will be seated during the exciting search Wikipedia segment of the episode.
Character was created by Bobby Moynihan, Mikey Day, and Streeter Seidel. Moynihan said they wanted to make a Halloween-themed version of a viral video with an Indian guy dancing around, and every once in a while he stops and the music stops. His middle initial for David S. Pumpkin stands for Simon for no reason whatsoever.
Well, see, now you've spoiled, like, now that's going to be stuck in my head, so I'm going to be like, this stands for Simon.
The initial idea for the sketch did not include the character at all. It involved a creepy hotel which resembled Disney's Haunted Mansion. This was later changed into a Tower of Terror-style ride. Basically, it's just, they don't even say what actually the character is supposed to be, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. It's Tom Hanks at his finest, though. Floorburger says, Floorburger here. This month I'm going to ask you all of the Halloween-related questions. First up, what's the scariest figure you own that is intentionally scary? And what's the scariest figure you own that's not intended to be scary?
Just say it. You can be on the thing. Carrie's on all the time.
I want to know if you guys have ever had any paranormal experiences with the toys that you brought home.
Okay, well, we'll save that to the end.
We'll touch that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get that at the end of Floorburger's thing because it's thematically related. You know, I don't know if there's any toys in my collection that I think are like, ooh, scary.
Ooh, scary.
Yeah, I mean, the giant porg's a little intimidating.
He is a little intimidating. Plus, you can push his eyes in.
Don't push his eyes. Don't.
What?
Would you like it if I did that to you?
You do it to me all the time. I don't complain.
Not push your eyes in.
I don't complain. I kind of like it.
Ew.
Squishy.
Ick. Sticky. Yeah, I don't know that there's any that just are like intentionally scary that I'm like, it's scary. I'm afraid. I'm afeared of my toys.
I'm afeared of my toys. Unintentionally scary?
Like again, I don't know that there's any in my collection that I consider unintentionally scary, but I think the doll from the Mini-Mart, remember? JT's.
Oh, yeah. Creepy doll.
Creepy doll. Creepy doll.
Oh, Creepy Doll.
No, no one can ever beat Creepy Doll.
No, that was the weirdest. Oh, God.
Jason, I want to play with your soul.
Oh, God. Creepiest doll. She had to have been from, what, the late 40s, early 50s? And she was this. She was an ice skater doll. It was.
I don't know what she's.
That was probably. Yeah, that Creepy Doll was probably. Just. We would be digging through JR's back room, and that doll's just sitting there. We were like, oh, God. Like, we had to hide it at one point because we were like, that's creeping me out. I don't have any scary toys in my collection either. Nothing really frightening. Unintentionally, I was telling the story while we were eating dinner, is that TJ Berry Tales is sitting up on the corner of a shelf.
Well, that's sort of going to answer the other question about the paranormal almost.
Oh, yeah, kind of. He's kind of unintentionally creepy because you just kind of look up at him and he's just kind of staring at you. And you're like, hi, don't look at me. Sometimes when I go down, I feel like the puppet's watching me. That's kind of creepy. Yeah, see, that's scary. Although, I freaked out Carrie a couple times because every once in a while, I'll just like randomly leave a skinned Teddy Ruxpin sitting on a table. And she'll
that
be like,
would,
oh, God.
That would be weird.
Yeah, she's like, oh, God, will you get rid of that thing? I'm like, oh, okay, sorry. Paranormal experiences, though. I have never brought anything home from a flea market or a garage sale or something that's given off that vibe or given off some weird, like, paranormal weirdness to it.
Yeah.
Luckily, I guess, never. I mean, you hear stories of people buying haunted dolls and stuff all the time. But the TJ Berry Tales thing does work into that because I was downstairs working, sewing back up a Teddy Ruxpin and a Grubby, and I just look up and this TJ Berry Tales is just freaking staring at me out of the corner. I'm like, hi, TJ Berry Tales. How you doing? Please don't move or talk back to me. Like, in the back of my head, I'm like, why are you even talking to the thing? Like, what are you going to do if it actually starts moving? Like, are you just going to stand there and be like, well, that's not creepy at all? Or are you going to be like, ah! I probably would stand there and be like, what? Why? Why me? Why? Like, what are you going to benefit from haunting me?
Because he's been watching you skin countless Teddy Ruxpins, his kinfolk. You're the Ed Gein Teddy Ruxpin verse. Yeah, I don't know. I live in a very weird Rick Sanchez world where there is no mystical nonsense. Every now and then, some of my old Simpsons play sets would go off.
Yep.
You know, in the middle of the night, which is a little unsettling, creepy. But like no big deal. I think the weirdest thing that, you know, you were talking about how you would bring home a toy that was cursed.
Yeah.
I would, like, I think the one thing is that one time I got a G.I. Joe vehicle, and the guys were very fond of the Mary Jane.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, and
it definitely had a smell to it.
Oh, yes.
So
I'm surprised you've never unrolled something and, like, just a little bag of Mary Jane has popped out.
No.
Like, oh, God.
Although that one definitely had a smell. I did have a bug in one, which ironically came from Brian.
Yes, yes. I've had a couple of things that come from him that have had bugs in them that I've been like, oh.
Well.
Sadly.
It's just the one.
Yeah. Randy Arcee says, what was your favorite Halloween costume as a kid, and which one would you do now?
I don't know.
Wow. Tracy just...
She's pointing at the pork. She's over here like a goddamn umpire giving me signals. And I'm like, I can't figure... And she went downstairs for like 5 minutes. I don't know what the fuck she was doing down there. PG-13.
Wow, that's your one F-bomb, buddy.
We get one,
that's
I'm
it.
I'm sorry that I've limited you, that I'm the one that did it.
That's it.
PG-13 alert. Spoiler alert. PG-13 alert. You know, I don't know if it was my favorite. I can't remember. Like, okay, my favorite. I got to go this route because it's my mom, 1978.
Yeah.
Handmade a Jawa.
Oh, yeah.
So I've still got it.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's my favorite.
I don't have any of my Halloween costumes as a kid because they were all Ben Cooper.
Yeah, well, most boxed. Of mine were big. I mean, I have a picture of me in like the King Kong costume from '76.
Yeah, I've got a picture of me in a Gizmo costume.
Yeah.
So I've got that. That's probably the only picture of the costumes I have. I can't remember all the costumes I had when I was a kid.
I've got pictures of me as a Stormtrooper and as King Kong.
I know
I have the Jawa one because I've still got the robe.
I know I was Gizmo. Beyond Gizmo, though, and that's the only one that sticks out in my head. But
well, I was going to say, the one I really remember, though, is do you remember when they had these, like, crazy inflatable head things you wore on your head?
I just saw a commercial for those today.
Yeah. I had one of those.
Yeah, I saw that and immediately went, oh, I forgot about those.
Yeah.
Like, those were kind of cool because you painted your face up the same color.
Yeah.
And, yeah, those were kooky. I remember those.
Yeah.
I remember seeing kids with those. I never had one. But I remember seeing kids with those.
Yeah.
I remember, you know what I remember, and I never got, I was too old for Halloween, technically. But when Turtles, when the first Turtles movie came out, they sold this makeup kit that had like this latex turtle mouth that you could glue to your face.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's...
I'm sure it's horrifying.
Oh, it's... I need to find a picture of it. It's pretty terrifying indeed. Let's see, 1990. Let's see if it pops up. I remember seeing pictures of it recently and going, oh, God. Like, that's just frightening. Like, those should not be that scary, but, oh, they are. Oh, come on now.
If I say I believe you.
No, I want to show it to you because it's just unreal and amazing all at the same time. I'll keep looking for it. Maybe we'll come back to it.
Maybe we'll come back to it.
Yeah. But
something to look forward to for next week, people.
You know, the Halloween costumes. Halloween costumes we had as a kid. Like, there's a great Jerry Seinfeld thing about it, about how the costumes as a kid, you would, you know, you had that thin little piece of rubber and that mask that would just, you would wear and would cut into your eyes.
Oh, it has like
the
razor sharp edges.
Yes.
And, like, dig into your skin.
And you would.
Tiny little slit for a mouth.
Yes, and you would be wearing that mask, and he'd always be like, you'd be going up in the house, you'd be trick or snap, it broke. You're trying to put that little, he's like, it just keep breaking, and the strap would get thinner and thinner, and the eyes would start cutting. Yeah, that was always the worst, when the eyes start cutting into you, and you're like, oh, God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening?
But candy.
But I got to get the candy,
She'd give me a look. No, that's, not butt candy. Yeah. Butt comma candy.
That's a great... It's one of Seinfeld's great things. Oh. Gotta get the candy.
Like with Cuphead, I always think of my favorite Adam Sandler sketch on Saturday Night Live where he's doing a cheap Halloween costume.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm Mr. Newspaper for a headman.
Give me some candy.
I'm not a normal person. I have a newspaper for a head. Give me some candy.
I'm Mr. Bat for an arm. Give me some candy.
It's like my favorite Adam Sandler sketch.
Oh, Christopher Michael W. wants to know, what happened to Bored? Well,
good question.
Bored is still being worked on. It's, here's the problem we have with Bored.
I think we discussed it. Is that one of the key cast members is successful?
Yes. Don't get us wrong. We're not...
Danny's successful. He's busy. He's in huge demand.
Danny's a busy man. He's got a family. He's got a small, he's got a small boy. He's getting older. They're spending a lot of time together, which is great. Danny's a great father.
Yeah, and what a jerk. He's a great dad.
But what I mean.
What a butthole.
I don't mean it like that.
No, I know you don't mean it like that.
I didn't have a father growing up, and I'm very jealous.
Well, I've always known he would be a great dad.
Oh yeah.
That's because he's always great with kids, and he loves that kid.
Yes,
you know,
he does.
So I think the YouTube community in general is going to be lesser because he's gonna put that energy into his kid, which he should. Because looking back 20 years from now, he's gonna be happier that he spent time with Spencer. Yeah. Than making one more video.
So the problem is getting schedules to line up. Like I've sent Danny a couple of schedules put together going, will this work for you? And none of them have worked so far. So at this point, you probably won't get a new season of actual Bored until sometime next year. And I say that not to be an ass. Like, I'm not mad about it. I'm actually kind of happy because it gives me more prep time to get things ready. So once we film Danny's stuff, I can pretty much get everything edited and get it out in a timely manner this time around. Because this last season of Bored was terrible.
We just need to do it. We didn't commit to it last time, but we need to do it like the last episode with Chef. Where it's like, hi, Jason. Yeah. I'm here to play games.
It's just like footage of Danny.
Just random
horribly
footage of
cut out and green screen.
Yes.
There is...
that's even better. Just like green screen Danny and dub his voice.
I do have the next three seasons planned out. I have almost two seasons worth of scripts done.
How very Mezco of you.
I know, right? So I've got
stuff
ready.
Bringing it full circle.
I've got stuff ready to go.
See, other podcasts bring it full circle like that.
In the meantime, though, and I'm still working on scripts for it, which are a little tougher than working on scripts for just old vintage board games.
Is Bored After Dark?
Yes, Bored the Tabletop Edition, which Dave and I will host to kind of make a little filler.
Behind the green board.
Basically looking at tabletop stuff like Star Wars Rebellion or Ghostbusters or Fortune and Glory.
No, we're not going to Rebellion.
Yes, we are.
He's literally reading off the because we're sitting here looking at
I'm looking at Dave's board games.
Board game shelf.
And Dave has owned Star Wars Rebellion for like a year and a half now.
I think longer.
And for longer, yes. And refuses to open it. And it's sitting there. And he jokingly says, no, if you open it, it ruins the value. It's not mint anymore.
Quote, jokingly.
Yeah. I think it's not jokingly. Dave is very serious. One day Rebellion is going to get busted out because he will just finally get sick of me going, we're ever going to play Rebellion? Let's play Rebellion.
Oh, you're not half as bad as Brad.
No, Brad's pretty terrible.
Brad will just randomly call up and say, hey, I'm going to just be driving 2 hours up there for no reason. You want to play Rebellion?
Yeah.
You know, because Brad, Rebellion?
Brad owns it.
No, Brad doesn't own it. He's the one that
suggested he did have it.
No,
yeah.
I don't think he does.
So yeah, we've never.
If he owned it, he'd just bring it. And,
yeah, that's true.
Would be bugging me to open mine.
But so we're. I mean, it won't be. You know, the board, as Dave likes to call it, Bored After Dark, won't be the same as Bored. A lot of the shenanigans will be missing because tabletop games are a little bit more.
Well, it's also hard to do the puppet and me in the same scene. Yeah, we've done it,
but it's not
usually regrettable.
It's not ideal. But it was just kind of our way to make some filler and for us to kind of focus on some of the...
Those precious filler episodes.
I know, right?
We need one where you guys get trapped in a freezer and then it's like, remember that time we played Subsearch?
My favorite fillers is the first episode of the Clerks animated series where it first opens up and it's like, previously on Clerks, and then it's just static.
Yeah.
I
like the South Park one where they did that. And it's like, maybe a third of the way through the episode... They start remembering things that never happened.
Oh, yeah.
Or they remember them differently.
Yeah.
Like Kenny kills death.
Yes. Bored is coming. I promise you that. Like I said, we've got more Bored episodes coming. It's just...
Lies.
Now it's just a matter of scheduling
Lies.
And filming
He's a liar.
To get Danny in the same room with us in order to do it. Although I will give you a little sneak peek at this season. The puppet no longer lives in the closet. The puppet has moved out and moved into a fancier shindig.
The basement?
The laundry room.
The laundry room.
Yes, which I'm sure will be, which we've already got some shenanigans played for
one. I don't know if I'm going to commit to some of that. I've already kind of made a stink about being too gross about things. Maybe I'll back off on something.
Yeah, but so basically my
maybe
idea.
Maybe we'll just do a thing like, well, I'm just spitballing here. Maybe we'll do a thing like every time you take the filter out of the laundry,
yeah,
it's like just thick gray.
Covered with gray hair. Mostly moving the puppet downstairs makes it easier for us to just film it all in one location instead of carrying equipment up and down the stairs several times.
Oh my God, that's what it's all about. Well, that's actually not a bad idea.
No, that is literally my goal was to have Danny in for as short a time as possible and get as much film.
You mean like what I told you at the beginning of season two we were supposed to do?
But
we have every Danny scene planned out and like.
We did have every Danny scene planned out and blocked, pretty much. Because season two was Puppet's agent, and I had blocked all that out with John before Danny even got there. So all we had to do was set the camera up and film.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff. Season three is where things kind of got away from us.
Yeah.
So, Catherine Maxwell Metzger wants to
know what we should do? Huh. Pickle Dan. I'm Pickle Dan.
I'm Pickle Dan.
He's the pickle man.
He can't.
Probably be like,
just cover. Oh my God, have Danny cover his face in green except for his eyes and his mouth so I can just take that off the green screen and put it on the pickle. I'm Pickle Dan!
I'm Pickle Dan.
I turned myself into a pickle. Why? I don't know. Rick and Morty did it. Why not?
Well, it's like everybody wanted a piece of me, and I figured, hey, this is the best way to get him off my back.
The puppet goes, "Turn our pickles! I told you! I told you who was the pickle man! You never listened.
Selenia.
Why doesn't you listen?" Oh, Catherine Maxwell Metzger wants to know, are there any more plans for Moments with Puppet of All? The kiddos have been asking. Yes, yes, there are. there are. We have other. Thank you, David. I know. We have.
Is there footage shot?
There is.
Is there?
Shut up.
Did I promise someone like a butthole that their kids were going to be mentioned in a Puppet of All episode?
It's coming. Just
it's never materialized. Making me look bad.
I hate you right now.
You're the one that complains. You wanted nothing to do all day.
You wanted out so bad.
Sit around. And I don't want anything.
You wanted out so bad. You could buy a laptop, and get some editing equipment. You could help me edit this crap.
All I have to do is like sit there and harass, make my coworker uncomfortable.
Nah, I do that. That's
you
true.
Do that.
I do that. I do.
Yes, there's one in the can, and I'm sure we keep kicking around ideas for other ones. It'll happen.
Yes. So there are stuff coming. Johnny Russell says, saw another article about expensive toys. Should I invest in Beanie Babies? What's up with these prices? I have not looked at this.
There was like a tie store in the mall. Are they going back up?
Well.
Is Princess worth money?
People are trying to sell.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Don't. No. These
Are you going to Beauty and the Beast me?
No, these are not worth this money.
Are you gonna do this to me again, where I have something that's suddenly valuable, and you're gonna be like, "No, it's not really worth any money." You
can't nothing is worth, dude. A patty platypus is not worth $1,000 freaking.
You don't know that.
These are dude. A princess beanie baby for Princess Di is not worth $50,000. Come on now. What have they sold?
I would sell one for $50,000. No, I've got one. I'll sell it for $50,000.
And you'll be sitting on it forever. Oh, these are sold. Okay, these sold listings. Okay,
I didn't realize. Oh my God, these are the sold ones?
These are not real sold listings. I guarantee you these are bogus sell listings done by. Okay, what happens is a lot of times these people will list
this
stuff for
ridiculous
prices.
Brand here. Oh, no, see, they send in people to buy it.
They'll list these prices for ridiculous amount of money. And then they'll create another account and actually have two separate accounts, and they'll just buy it and then never pay for it because they're just buying it from themselves. So they don't ever have to technically pay for it. So what that does is it drives up the prices of everything else, so it makes it seem like the prices and values are going up when they're not. It happens all the time in toys, man.
I'm sure.
Yeah. None of these sell prices.
Stanley Kubrick filmed the moon landing,
dude,
man.
Dude, none of these sell prices are legit. There's no way. There's no way. I'm sorry. None of these.
I would be over the moon if Princess was worth $50,000. I would sell that in a heartbeat.
None of these are worth that much money.
You already ruined Beauty and the Beast.
I'll continue to ruin this stuff for you because it's all crap. This is all ridiculous. $400? Really? Come on now. Beanie Babies have been worth squat.
Coming back, man.
Okay, when you've got 415 plus Beanie Babies for about $360.
Oh, yeah, that's less than a buck a beanie.
Yeah, that's like less than a buck a beanie. That's
I got a tote full of those McDonald's ones, man. I need those to go up.
Need those to go up.
Whoever you scammers are, you need to scam the McDonald's ones because I got a tote of them.
Like, here's my question is, where's the seller for this? The Beanie Weenie Man.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here's he's doing his Columbo thing.
He says, I want to thank all of my million plus visitors, followers, and supporters. Thousands of emails. I hope my postings are informative. Thank you all. Okie dokie. So.
Okay.
He has two positive reviews and nothing else. And all his prices are ridiculous. Oh, look. Here's my point exactly. So this first edition Princess Beanie Babies that's on here that shows three of them together for $652,200. Look what he has listed for sale. Look at that. 21 hours left. Look, it's the same damn listing. This guy is not selling the stuff. He is bidding on his own stuff to make it look like...
That's unethical.
Yeah, it is unethical, and it's stupid. And all of these ridiculous price ones...
You get someone to pay $600,000 for a Beanie Baby? That ain't stupid. You're smart.
All of these ridiculous
price
ones...
The person paying the $600,000
that are
stupid.
On here are all his. A six...
That's why he's going to the Beanie
Princess
Market.
Princess Diana Indonesia Ghost Version and Missing Rose. $609,000. Really? Come on, man. Don't.
Ooh, how much is Benny the Bull going
no,
for?
No, stop it.
I got a couple of those, too. I got sentimental
attachment to those. He says $1,000. I don't think so.
Oh, well, there you go. Is Jordan back?
No.
Oh.
I know Johnny was just wanted to know, but that don't. Nobody invest in Beanie Babies. They're not worth squat.
Invest in them.
Stop it.
In fact, I'll help you out. I've got one that I'm willing to sell. It'll be worth a fortune.
And then last but not least, John Lefebvre says, have you ever considered doing top 10 lists? Everyone loves a good list.
Yes, constantly, because they're easy, low-hanging fruit for lazy people. And I am constantly considering it. I would do it in a heartbeat if Jason would let me cheapen the site.
Here's my thing, is that I'm so over lists, like top 10s,
I know,
top
they're super,
I get asked,
they're cheap, they're easy.
I get asked every year to be a part of Geekcast Radio's like top 100 animated.
Well, those are like, I can't think of 100 animated films.
Yeah, and they always want you to put your own list together. And well, no, I'm not being a part of this. I always tell them, no, I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm like, I don't even have 100. I don't even have 50 in the top of my head. I'm like, I'm just start throwing crap together at that point. I'm not a fan of lists. I'm not a fan of a lot of times, you know, I'm not a fan of it. I could care less. I'm like, yeah.
I'm a fan of it because it's easy and cheap to do. I'm honest.
Well, that's true.
You know. But yeah, I mean, I get that it's overdone and it is real low hanging fruit.
It is. I mean, we tackle some low hanging fruit as it is, but I've got my limits, man.
Yeah.
I've got my limits. That's just, you know, there's only so many low dangling balls I can fondle before I'm like, well, I'm done.
I mean, you know, there are some that are, you know, like the top 10 unproduced G.I. Joe characters would be, you know, that's kind of a fun one to do.
That's all you, buddy, because I'm like, I don't know.
Top 10 and unmade Star Wars characters. I don't even think there are 10.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well,
I think the Tanaka sisters and... You can talk.
The Chewie family from the Christmas
movie. Oh, my God, I would kill.
I know you would.
We were watching People vs. George Lucas, and they showed a picture of those prototypes. I'm like, oh, my God, I want them so bad.
And they got the prototype stage, man. They got filmed.
I'm always saying that I wouldn't really want prototypes. I would take those in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I know. And they're in somebody's Star Wars collection.
I'm sure they are.
Whether it's Sand Suites or whether it's some private collector who you'll never know until they die.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. That's the bad thing with prototype. And we've talked about it before in the past with a lot of people. With the fact that a lot of these prototype collectors just have this stuff in tubs.
Well, yeah.
And just like put away in storage and no one knows they have. Hell, they don't even know what they have anymore, but never sees the light of day. And that's, to me, that's sad. Like,
yeah.
Let's see it.
Like, well, yeah, we were joking the other night that, you know, it's like it belongs in a museum.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff does belong in a museum, really.
You know, a lot of these guys who have the stuff and people know they have the stuff and then they deny having it. It's just
Well, and that was what Blake went through making the book.
Yeah, exactly.
People wouldn't even wouldn't let him come and film their stuff.
Yeah, because they thought he would badger them or they'd get badgered about selling it. Yeah. And it's like, hopefully, with Blake, in a Blake situation, hopefully now that book is published and is actually a pretty big hit with a lot of people online, hopefully that makes it a little easier for him to go, look, I published a book.
I'm not trying to scam you. Yeah, I just wanted.
I literally want to document this stuff because I want people to see it. People deserve to see it. So, last but not least, David, we've joked about this many times.
Is the end times. Hell has frozen over. Cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria. I have gotten my action force.
Yes, from
Palatoy Collector's
Guide. BloodOfTheBaron.com. Blood for the Baron. Yes, this book that Dave backed 2 years ago,
something like that,
and I think we talked about it on a podcast.
Talked about it repeatedly on the podcast.
But this this book finally got printed. It finally came to Dave's house on Monday, Sunday,
Saturday,
then. Saturday. It actually is really well put together.
Yeah,
Dave has some nitpicks with it.
I have some issues with it.
The sad thing is that
let me put it this way: for what it is, it's well done. It is extremely thorough. That was, of course, the holdup.
Yes,
he kept finding hey, this German collector has all the German versions.
Yes,
and so he'd go and he'd put off publishing and he'd get pictures of those. So it's very thorough. The layout, I think noted author James Cavanaugh. Does a much better job.
Belomo does a much better job.
The thing about Belomo is Belomo always has a little paragraph or two about information about thing. And I think that this book really misses that, especially because, for someone who's not English, who's not, didn't grow up with this stuff.
Right.
There's a lot of interest about these characters and, how they're different. Alex Pasquale on the forums was asking, how come the Baroness is with this guy in the helmet, and how come there are two Destros, and how come, and I think if Belomo had done the book, there'd be paragraphs explaining that.
Yes.
And it's a little frustrating because he does this thing that's kind of cool where he has a list of all the Action Force comics in the back.
Yes.
And then in that listing, he breaks down what the storylines are because each comic had two or three storylines usually.
Right.
And in England, they published every week, not every month.
Right.
They were constantly cranking that stuff out.
Yeah.
And then in the toy guide section, a specific toy, he's got a little thing that tells you the storylines that toy featured in.
Yes.
Which is neat. A, Cavanaugh would have had a thing in the front of the book explaining that's what the deal was, because I had to figure that out for myself, which I kind of figured out quick, but then I had to it took forever to confirm it.
Right, because you had to keep going back.
Well, because I had to catch which storyline and which toy and make it work.
Right.
B, that's a perfect opportunity to explain this vehicle was in this storyline, and it got in a fight with this vehicle, and it was driven by this guy, and, Baron Ironblood did this, and the Red Jackal did that. I mean, he's got the file card information.
Right.
But I just, I feel like, because Belomo was asking, Y-Wing's called a DSL-90. What's the DSL stand for? And you're
right.
I mean, he was super heavy researching the stuff for the Star Wars book. So, and I assume I think with the G.I. Joe book, he just had Larry Hama. On speed dial, it's hey, Larry, what's up?
Yeah.
But, there's all these amazing stories in the G.I. Joe book about, why, the computer guy, Mainframe, why he's an army guy, but he's got a marine patch on his arm. And all this, details that I wish this book had included.
Yeah.
Now, is it fair to knock the book for not being the book that I want? No. And again, it is extremely well researched.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of pictures.
It's gorgeous.
Really well done. I just think it could have been better. There are little things that I think Cavanaugh or Belomo would have done that would have been that extra degree of quality.
That's a great book if you're
I don't
want to knock
it.
If
you're a collector of Action Force, or if you're just unfamiliar with it. I will say one of the things I love about it is in the beginning, the early figures, which were more generic, which were smaller versions of the 12-inch
figures.
And he's got a picture of the 12-inch figure to go along with it.
Yeah.
So you know what they are. There's a lot of extra material. All those
covers of a lot of the licensed stuff, notebooks, erasers, pencil sets, stampers.
Yeah, it's well done. There were things I wish that had more, especially when you wait 2 years for something. Yeah.
Right, but I like you said, I will agree that it's It is very much. I mean, it is in depth, and it looks tremendous. It's thick. It's what, almost 300 pages,
something like that. Yeah,
299 pages,
and it came with a bunch of mini posters.
Yep,
and a lot of, there was a lot of extra stuff. A little bookmark of it.
A little decoder that he's got a lot of. I don't know, he's got this secret language written on some
sort of
the
weird
stuff.
Quasi Cyrillic.
I don't
language.
Know. Yeah, I don't know why.
Because I assumed that the toys had it.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, he just pulled that out of his butt for no reason. No, I assume the toys had it.
Could be.
But he's got like a poster of like all the figures. He's got a poster of all the comic covers.
Yeah.
He's got a poster that's just like artwork that are really nice.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's well done for what it is.
Yeah.
I'm just being picky because...
Well,
because even more so than G.I. Joe or Star Wars. Like, I know all the stuff about Star Wars. Like... With Action Force, I sort of know the story behind Iron Blood. I don't really know the Jackal story. I don't really know Red Lake. You know, like a lot of these guys, I don't really know what their stories are, and I'd be interested to know. We kind of made a joke about Gaucho, who's their version of Kung Ho.
Yeah.
What's his deal? What were his storylines? What were his defining moments?
The dumb thing I don't like about this decoder is I just decoded.
Yeah, you just hate the decoder.
I just decoded the first the little message on the first page, which is the two para. And it literally just is two para. That's it says.
I
the
assume
same
that.
Thing.
See, that's the thing is, I assume that's what it was from the start.
Yeah,
it's just a little weird, Cyrillic.
Yeah.
Thing.
Other than that, though, I mean, it's a great book that he put together. I mean, it's
yeah,
for 2 years worth of work, it's pretty cool. But it's just again, like Dave's nitpicks, I agree with. It should have been a little bit more laid out a little
it's
better.
It's good for what it is, but it could have really been something special.
Right, I agree. But it's cool, like Dave said, End Times. And now
yeah, I know. I actually have it. So now it's like balls in your court, G.R.R. Martin.
Yeah. You're going to print those books?
You going to publish a book anytime soon?
What you going to do there? Because
the Action Force Guide actually exists now.
It did happen. I know my Modern Army Action Figures G.I. Joe newspaper ads from 1982.
That guy has them done, yeah.
Yeah, that's arriving. The books are here, so... I still don't have an update since September 7th, so almost a month since the TMNT Action Figure Encyclopedia updated. So I don't have any updates from that guy.
That was always a little...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everything's kind of quiet on... Did we record after Marauder hit their Kickstarter?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we did.
Because they got the guys in suits.
Yes,
which I'm super happy about.
We did discuss that.
I am happy, and I hope that they flood the stores with all kinds of weird variations. That's what they did with the other ones. It was like Irizarry would occasionally send me texts like, "Hey, they got new color variations." I'm like, "Ooh,
yeah." You're like, "Oh,
must own pointless color variations.
Must have it. Must have them all." Yeah. So now it's just a matter of waiting for a.
Yeah. Waiting for all them toy lines that I've kickstarted a million.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave has kickstarted quite a few.
I have.
Yeah. It's just a matter of getting them, David. Just a matter of getting them. Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up the show for this week. Dave and I will be back next week with an all-new episode. Make sure you listen then. Check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder and youtube.com/BoardTheShow. as well as toyworldorder.com for the all the past episodes of this as we near episode 300. And gang, until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.